We've seen the first verse of 478a, please.
Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by.
Thank you. Appreciate the Lord's mercy, His faithfulness, and His love to us. I am appreciative of His visitation throughout this meeting, and I don't want to personally or for us to ever take that for granted. It's my desire, as I believe it's all of ours tonight, that we hear not the words of man, but to be able to hear and to seek, Lord, what is your heart tonight? I hope you're not tired of the old gospel story, because I feel the Lord has for us yet another appeal from His Word. I'd like to turn tonight to the book of Mark, in the 10th chapter. Ask for your prayers tonight. Mark chapter 10, beginning in the 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'd like, by the Lord's help, to try to unpack this a little bit this evening. I want to think about this event that's happening in Jesus' life. It begins ordinarily enough, pretty commonplace. They came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, almost as if coincidentally, it just happened to be, but I'm not much a believer in coincidence. I think about one place where Jesus had a mission to meet a woman that was at a well of Samaria. And it said that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Well, I don't believe the others knew the background and the entire story there. But they followed Jesus. But Jesus saw, I believe, and had a mission and had a woman that he wanted to go meet. And give a great offer and opportunity unto. You know, Jesus, when he came and he dwelt among men, he took upon him the form of a servant. He was clothed in ordinary flesh. When you looked at him, there was no comeliness that we should behold him or desire him. I don't believe by just looking at Jesus, you'd say, that has got to be the Son of God. You can tell it by appearance, by his stature. Oh, there were certainly things that would indicate that this is more than just a man. There's never a man that spake like this one does. But by appearance only, I believe it was pretty ordinary. You know, I don't believe that we should look for the miraculous workings of God, which are still present, available, and working today. But I believe we need not look for those among seraph harps and angel feathers, among the divine and the supernatural. Jesus walks among men. He walks in our lives. Maybe we could substitute for the purposes of our setting here tonight. And they came to Monarch Springs. I don't know why you're here tonight, but I believe Jesus has a purpose. And I believe tonight that though the time may be closing on this meeting, I trust it won't be the last, and I'm not here to be dramatic and act as if I believe it will be the last. Those things are in God's hand alone. But what we know is the window is closing on this meeting. But I don't believe the Lord's finished. I believe the Lord still wants to give another call, another invitation. As he went through and as he passed on his way, almost coincidentally, he went with his disciples and a great number of people. And he met, you notice the name here. This name was coupled with what, an adjective? Blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had been in that condition long enough that it became part of who he was, part of his identity. He's just the blind man. No doubt many people had passed down that same road and had seen Bartimaeus there maybe day after day after day. Tonight I want you to consider, what is your adjective? Jesus knows us all together. I'd like to be like the man that was under the tree when Jesus said, only a glowing report. But he knows us. He knows who we are. Whatever the name might be, so-and-so the hypocrite, the professor, the neglector, the backslider, the skeptic. Jesus passed by blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road begging. There's not a whole lot of self-dignity in that, is there? It seems it would be a little bit hard to have a whole lot of self-worth. But he was reduced to this, perhaps, and very likely, by the fact that he was blind Bartimaeus. And he sat by the highway side doing what he could, begging, hoping today for somebody's compassion upon him. I don't intend by this comment to reduce sickness and affliction and equate it to sin. But I want us to realize that the ways of sin will reduce us to begging. The scripture talks about, it says, why are you turned back to the weak and beggarly elements? There's something better than that. Something more noble than just sitting, waiting and begging for the crumbs and hoping for something that falls out of or is brought out of somebody else's pocket. But here this man sat, this day, no doubt like any other, begging. And he heard what I would imagine, because of the crowd, was a commotion coming down the road. And he inquired what that commotion was. And they said, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. I have to believe that meant something to this man, because immediately he began to cry out. And he began to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, it requires faith to get anything from the Lord. I believe it was said in a prior message, not a mountain of faith. But it requires faith to come to God. You know, the beginning place for this man was the stories that he had heard of what Jesus had done for other people. No doubt he had heard the stories and the miracles that had been performed, and maybe others that had been healed. Those had no doubt reached his ears. But I believe it went a step further. When faith took hold to believe, if Jesus did it for them, he can also do it for me. in my condition, no matter how long I've been sitting here. He didn't just nudge someone next to him and say, hey, psst, would you go talk to Jesus and see if he has time? Would you go ask him if this is within his wheelhouse to be able to take care of my kind of condition? He heard that's Jesus. And I believe that he saw a window before him. This is my opportunity. Jesus is passing by me. And there rose within him the faith to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David. He believed for himself, though there were many opinions and ideas of who Jesus was. Some believed he was a prophet, a good man, an imposter, and others the Son of God. Faith caused him to believe, Jesus, our Messiah, have mercy on me. You know, he didn't cry out with his explanations. He didn't cry out with his excuses. He just cried out from the heart, have mercy on me. Believing that if Jesus will, he can do the work for me. Well, there were many others who said, this isn't proper. This isn't appropriate. This isn't the time. Jesus can't be bothered right now. He's got a place that he's going to. Maybe they thought he doesn't have time for a beggar on the side of the road. Did that deter him? Folks, do you realize tonight the salvation, it was paid for and it's already bought for you. But it doesn't come cheap. The kingdom of God is preached. It's available to us. But every man is going to have to press into it. To press against the crowd. The opposition. The naysayers, the opinions, and may I say, not only of people, but the thoughts that would crowd my mind. No, not now. This isn't the time. Maybe later. Maybe at a different point of your life than right now. No, don't. You ever face those kind of struggles even in a setting like this? Where you feel the tug pull at your heart and you say, you know, I've got a need. That I am Bartimaeus, the blind man. That I am Clint the fill in the blank. That I recognize in the very presence of God and His Spirit that I've got a need. And you feel the tug, you feel the draw, and yet right along its heels you hear the voice saying, but I don't know that it's for you. It may not work for you. Maybe you've gone too far and waited too long. Maybe this isn't the time. Maybe you ought to just sit on it and think about it for a little while. Tonight, I believe the Lord's message for you is rise. Jesus is calling you. The call is still going forth tonight. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? I can't answer that for you. Shall the voices that speak to your mind, the voice of doubt and the voice of the enemy, will you let that intervene? Will you let that rob you from what the Lord has made available for you? The work that He wants to do in your life. I say nay. No, I won't let that intervene. And this man said before the song was ever written, I'll not let that intervene. And he cried all the more. It was the cry of a man desperate for help. Desperate that I don't want to sit here tomorrow. I don't want to be here the rest of my life. And I glimpse through faith a window of opportunity. You know, it's easy for a child to state their mind. You ever notice that? My young children embarrassed me more times than I could count. And I'm sure I did mine. Be in a store, my little child, "Daddy, look at their hair." They just, whatever comes to their mind, and they blurt it out and they say it. You know, something happens, and in that sense, thank the Lord, something happens where we hopefully begin to develop a filter and say, you know what, this isn't the appropriate time. You know what, that word is not going to be helpful here. And I maybe learn how to read the audience and the situation and the setting and learn some discretion in what I say. You understand the difference between a child and an adult? The Lord designs it to be that way. But I want us to think about ourselves in this context. This wasn't a child that cried out. This wasn't a child that just blurted out because they don't know any better. This was a grown man who, in spite of it all, still cried out and said, "Have mercy on me. I've not been around nearly as long as some of you." But one thing that I've noticed, when Jesus calls, well, let me just ask you, does He call only those that are below 40? Are these altars only for teenagers? Do you know it can become harder whenever I get older? And I start to have more an awareness of, well, you know, I ought to be here, and by now I shouldn't maybe be struggling with this problem, and what are they going to think, and what are they going to believe about me? But maybe I even have this position, and I've got to be careful here. Lord, help us when Jesus calls to realize that He's calling today, not with condemnation, but He's calling with the offer of the help that I need to my soul. Folks, we might have sat on my roadside for years with the problems that I deal with. There's a saying at the company I work with that the president likes to say, "Don't cohabitate with problems." Well, He doesn't want us to become just complacent with a broken process, with something that doesn't work very well. Fix it. Don't let that thing just linger and continue. Don't become satisfied to just cohabitate with a problem. Folks, may I urge us tonight, don't cohabitate with problems. Don't cohabitate with a subpar experience with the Lord. With anything less than victory, the Lord has it for us tonight. It says here, as He cried, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me," that Jesus stood still and commanded Him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, He calleth thee." Folks, the humble, contrite cry of the heart still stops Jesus dead in His tracks. The heart that cries out and says, "It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter how long I've cohabitated with this issue in my life. Jesus, have mercy on me." And He's still stopping today. He's still stopping in His tracks and turning to hear the cry of those that simply want help. Those that aren't satisfied and content to stay begging at their roadside, knowing that the Lord has something better for me. But He told him, the message came to them, "Be of good comfort." After having told him, "Shh, be quiet. You're a nuisance. Be quiet." When Jesus stood still and beckoned, the message came to him, "Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Jesus is calling you." Amen. Again tonight, that's the message for us here tonight. We've heard many good messages go forth through this meeting. And I believe tonight Jesus still calls. But he told the man, rise. You're going to have to get up from where you've been sitting. You're going to have to be willing to not stay there in the mully grubs. You're going to have to be willing to not just stay in your cloak of comfort and what's so familiar to you. You're going to have to be willing to get up, to rise out of your place, to take the initiative and the effort to rise and come to Jesus, for he calls you. Folks, it doesn't have to be at an altar like this, but I'll tell you what it does need to be. When Jesus calls, it's time to answer. When Jesus tugs, when I hear him call my name, oh, the sound of him calling my name. Folks, Jesus calls. He knows where you're at tonight. I don't and I don't need to. But Jesus knows exactly where you're at tonight. He knows you. And he calls your name. The call of the gospel is a universal call. It is offered to whosoever will. And yet, it is so personal. It is so direct. When Jesus comes along and he calls your name, it's time to rise. Think about whenever, after Jesus' crucifixion and on that Sunday morning, Mary went to the tomb. And as she was there weeping in her grief and her sorrow and couldn't even hardly lift her head through the heaviness of her heart, there was so much she didn't understand. Where'd you lay him? What have you done with him? Didn't even at first recognize Jesus. Folks, sometimes we look for something more spectacular. And Jesus is calling through the ordinary and the mundane and the coincidental. She heard her name, Mary. And there was something about the call of that name that caused her to realize, Rabboni, it's you, Jesus. I recognize you now through eyes that were so filled with tears and my sorrow and my grief. I didn't even see who you were. When he called my name, I recognized it. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you need? Tonight, are you satisfied in your soul? Are you going back home with what you need? With what Jesus has to give you? What would you that I do to you, unto you? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Is it too much to ask? Folks, ask big. Ask for what you need. Lord, I want the victory. Lord, I want to go to heaven, my home. Lord, I want to lay my head down at night and know that all is well in my soul. Lord, I want to be able to overcome some of these giants that I have dealt with year after year. Lord, some of these patterns of failure that I've seen in my life. Lord, I want victory over these. Lord, can you still hear me? Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I'd like to turn to the book of John, the 9th chapter. The story here is of another man who was blind from birth. We won't read all of the story of Jesus' healing, but this man, Jesus healed, it caused quite a stir among the religious leaders. They couldn't accept and believe that Jesus, their enemy, had done such a thing. So they insisted to him, it can't be Jesus. Went to his parents, didn't like what he had to say. Went to his parents and asked, they said, you go ask him, he's of age. He can tell you, and he reaffirmed yet again that it was this Jesus indeed. They reviled him, despised him, lashed out at him. You know, there was a lot this man didn't understand about Jesus. There was a lot that he didn't know and couldn't explain. He really couldn't hold his own when it came to a debate with the religious leaders. And he didn't have to. His answer to them in the midst of their interrogation was, whether he be a sinner or not, I can't argue with you. I don't have the answers that'll satisfy you. But here's what I know. Yesterday I was blind, and now I've received my sight. Folks, I still believe in deliverance. I still believe in a salvation that works. I still believe in a Savior that is able to transform lives. I can see now. Well, what I want us to take note of here is the end of this story. The 34th verse. They answered and said unto him, they, the religious leaders, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Can you hear the indignation, the scorn, the hatred? They cast him out. This had great implications for this man. This was their way of religious worship at the time. They excommunicated this man from the very way of religion that he knew. You're not allowed back in this place anymore. You have no part in this any longer. Excommunicated and cast out from all he had known. Severed perhaps from his very hope itself of eternal life in his mind. But that wasn't the end of the story. They cast him out. It says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Lord, I want to believe. There's so much that I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. I can't make it add up. I've heard this, I've heard that, and right now I'm dealing with the sting of being cast out. Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Folks, when Jesus heard that he was cast out, he came looking for him. Aren't you thankful that the Lord comes looking for the outcast? The misfits. You know, you can be in a crowd even of this size. Just saying, being in a group of people and feel so alone. And feel so isolated. And feel like there are places that nobody understands me. Nobody understands the depths of what I'm dealing with here. And all the damage that religious systems have done in people's lives and in our world. Oh, folks, the damage that nominal Christianity, that Babylon has caused to the cause of Christ. To those that have been hurt and cast out and wounded, you know, Jesus comes searching out. Because you are so valuable to me. Folks, let's not get our eyes on people. Let's not get our hopes on a system. Let's get our eyes on Jesus Christ, the one who comes searching for us where we are. I'm so thankful that he's willing to leave the 99 and come out into the byways where I myself had strayed and wandered and become snared and hopelessly lost. And searches until he finds that lost one. Jesus came searching for him. I'd like to consider one other story from Jesus' life here in John 11. 11th chapter of John talks about Lazarus. The sickness, the death, the resurrection. Jesus had, as you'll remember and can read here, Jesus had traveled away and received word that Lazarus is sick unto death. And yet he chose to tarry longer where he was for a purpose. But his sisters didn't see that purpose. All they saw was their brother there dying before them. And now my brother's dead. They didn't have cell phones, obviously, to be able to text Jesus and say, please come ASAP. Jesus, where are you? At the hour of life that I most need you, you're not here for me. Where are you? You know, we can be, I've heard it in this meeting, we can be real with the Lord. I'm not talking about an advocating we're getting up in God's face type relationship. But I'm talking about I can be honest with the Lord. Lord, there are some things that I just don't understand. There are some things that don't make sense to me. Lord, there are places in my life where I felt like I needed you. Lord, where were you? Well, let's read a little bit of this account because I believe that's some of what they felt. The 20th verse of John 11 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. I pondered this before and I can't say conclusively. But I've wondered, why did Mary stay behind? Perhaps Martha just heard first and rushed to Jesus. But I've also wondered if in the sting of this sense of betrayal, disappointment, grief, she thought, I'm not going. I can't go. She sat behind while Martha went forth to meet Jesus. You notice what Martha said? Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Is it an accusation? Is it the heart of a friend crying out and saying, Jesus, I'm hurting. Jesus, I need help here. I don't understand, but I know my heart is hurting and it's bleeding right now. There are some things that I just can't wrap my... I don't understand how you could have allowed this to happen. Jesus said, she said, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I know that it shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. But I'd like for us to skip down to the 28th verse. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. Remember, Mary all this time is sitting back in the house. She went and secretly called Mary and said, the Master has come, and he calls for you. I don't know who's watching tonight, but there are some empty seats, and Jesus misses you. There are some who are not present by hurt, by the sense of rejection, by disappointment, by falling prey to the devices of the enemy. The message to you, perhaps some are sitting here even present, Jesus is calling for you. It wasn't enough that Martha was there. Jesus missed Mary. And though I don't believe it says it directly, evidently he asked Martha, where's Mary? Go and call for Mary. Folks, wherever you are tonight, Jesus is calling for you, and I pray that it will impress to our hearts tonight how personal this call is, and that it will find you and me wherever we are. Whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're wrestling with, you are not too far gone. No matter how disappointing life has been, Jesus cares. And He's calling. And His message goes something like this: I miss you. Won't you come? Come unto me, whosoever will. Are you heavy laden tonight? Are you burdened down? Are you grappling with things that are too big for you? Come unto me, He says, and I will give you rest and insert your name. For though that promise and that offer has gone out to the millions, it goes out tonight by the Spirit of the Lord to you. Wherever you are, however young, however old, however near or far, Jesus calls. Will you rise? I mean that literally. Could we stand and get a song? Believe that Jesus is calling somebody here tonight. I don't know where you are, what you've been through, where you've been, but Jesus is calling. And He calls us to rise. There are some that have been hearing the call and turning from it. There are some that have been hearing it and drowning it out with other things. There are some that have been hearing it and have been hearing the voices saying, I don't know. Maybe later. I just don't know. Tonight, will you rise? Jesus is calling you. Amen.